no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
Well, it's just 3 days after Sunday the 15th in March in San Salvador, and everyone's still on a bit of a high from the election result. And I have with me here two members of CISPES, which is the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador. They came over here as observers for the elections, and they're going to talk to us about the result, and particularly the very tense week leading up to the election of Sunday the 15th. I'll talk first with Nick Everett. Nick is from Australia, and Nick came over as an observer with the CISPES team. Nick, what actually prompted you to come to El Salvador for this event?
Well, actually, I've come from Perth, Western Australia. I'm living. And I've joined the CISPES delegation, which is a delegation from the United States to observe the election here in El Salvador and to meet with some of the grassroots organisations. And it's been an extraordinary experience, a very historic victory, this election result, with the Arena Party having been in government in El Salvador continuously for 20 years and having been the main party behind a guerrilla war, having fought against a guerrilla war that was led by the FMLN through the 1980s. So this is quite a triumph for the FMLN and quite a change of direction for El Salvador.
And but you obviously must have been involved with Latin American politics to have such a keen interest.
Yeah, I've followed El Salvador over the years, often not very closely, but first really became aware of the conflict in El Salvador in 1989 when the FMLN launched an offensive which reached the outskirts of San Salvador. This is actually my first time in El Salvador, and certainly I think being here has provided an insight that is hard to get from the distance of Australia or from outside of the country. In particular, what's impressed me is the level of mobilisation of the people at all levels of society that actually made this victory possible. And I think it really needs to be stressed that the population overcame fear, and they overcame a serious attempt at electoral fraud by the ruling Arena Party to be able to achieve the result that was achieved on the day.
And Nestor, you've, as a member of CISPES, you've obviously been monitoring the situation in El Salvador very closely. Now, Nick mentioned the fear factor in the lead-up to the elections. What were your observations on this?
Well, the major fear factors that came into play was the statement made by Republicans from Congress, saying that the Salvadoran Americans would be cut from the TPS, the temporary status, and then as well as their remittances. That I don't know if the audience knows, but the Salvadoran in the United States play a huge role in the economy of El Salvador, and they through the remittances, and they send over a large amount, like more than $1 million, who knows in how much time, but I don't have the exact numbers, but those were one of the tactics used to put fear into the Salvadorians.
And of course, they had the saturation advertising campaign. Did you get a chance to watch any of that?
Yes, I got to watch the nice little fear that they played, or the fear role that they played in the little 20-minute video that they played on TV, connecting the FMLN to Chavez and claiming that they were terrorists and working closely with the FARC in Colombia, which is obviously not true. So the statements that were said were not true whatsoever. So.
And the, I suppose, that economic fear factor, CISPES actually mounted a campaign of sorts to try and counter that. Can you tell us a little bit about that, how that went?
Yeah, CISPES mobilized very well. against the fear campaign that was put out by the media and by the Republicans in Congress, we actually sent out an action alert to get the State Department to react to the statement and the embassy as well. And they both reacted and said that they were willing to work and with any government that was elected, and that none of this, that the statements said by the Republicans were their own opinion and not the opinion of the country as a whole.
And because of some of the incidents that occurred during the January elections, that was the municipal and state election or the assembly elections, there were allegations of fraud, and there was there's quite a bit of trepidation and nervousness that as the polls showed, Fraun is steadily gaining more and more percentage points of a lead, that Arena would try anything to claw back an electoral victory. But we had, something like 500 foreign observers come in, flock in, many more than were here during the January elections, and Nick and Nestor were part of that team of observers. Nick, what were your observations? You were at just outside San Salvador at a place called San Martin.
Before the voting day itself, a couple of the delegation actually went to check out the voting centre in the middle of San Salvador that was intended for overseas voters coming home to vote in this election, and there had been a significant fear throughout the campaign, in the days leading up to the election, that people would be brought in from other countries to vote in place of people on the electoral roll who are actually dead. And this occurred in quite considerable numbers in the January 18 legislative election. Two of our delegation, a couple of our delegation observed there was trucks bringing mattresses to the voting centre, which were clearly, to the Arena central office in San Salvador, which looked quite clearly intended to accommodate people who were being bussed into San Salvador to vote. We also had reports on the Saturday, the day before voting day, that many Salvadorians had actually, there had been sightings of buses bringing people in from Guatemala, Honduras and Nicaragua, and some of these buses, I think from Honduras, were actually turned around by Salvadorians themselves and taken back to the border post where they had come from to try and prevent electoral fraud. On the day itself, certainly the atmosphere was very tense. When we arrived in San Martin, there were already at 5 in the morning volunteers from both parties ready to enter the polling booth, the voting centre, to oversee the process and participate in the process. As the day progressed, tensions eased quite considerably. We didn't see really in the voting centre where I was any of the expected foreign nationals coming to vote. There seemed to be agreement reached as to the process between the two parties during the day. But all of that said, once the votes were tallied by 7 p.m. that evening and we were just about to leave the voting centre, the representative for the centre from the FMLN alerted us to the fact that she had cited the coordinator for Arena, who had been coordinating his volunteers at the centre, was doing something suspicious. And when we came upon him, he had his pants down and he had a manila folder full of blank actas, which are the tally forms for all the votes for each of the voting tables in the centre, in his hands, which he was presumably intending to stuff into his pants and try and exit the voting centre so that these blank forms could be used for fraudulent purposes. I think this incident just showed the sheer desperation of the Arena Party. It's our view that nearly 5,000 international observers had a big impact in actually making fraud more difficult during the course of the day, and so they were quite desperate at that point to try and turn the result around, which they knew was going in the direction of the FMLN candidate Funes. What arose from there, similar to previous incidents, were the FMLN cadre in the centre surrounded this guy, called the police to assist. He was detained in a school classroom inside the voting centre, and the FMLN supporters made sure that the police didn't allow him to escape. So I don't know whether he will receive justice, but I think that this again was a victory, and the fact that he was literally caught with his pants down was evidence enough for the people as to what the Arena Party was up to.
And how did the vote go at your centre? Was it like a strong victory for the FMLN?
No, it wasn't. At the centre I was at, there was seemed to be a narrow lead for the Arena Party, but in San Martin as a whole, that did go to the FMLN. I don't have the figures for Sunday, but I know that they won the municipal election in that area just by a few hundred votes in January, so it was very close.
Well, it was much more tense than the election centre where I was, but it was sort of interesting hearing the count, and it was pretty obvious that, it was an FMLN stronghold, but it was like roughly 2-1, I'd say, and I think the FMLN scrutineers were a bit cheeky, I think, with sort of counting out the FMLN votes aloud. That everyone around could hear the FMLN, 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 which was a great boost of morale, of course. And Nestor, you were at Santo Tomas. How was that?
Santo Tomas was pretty calm, actually. It was not a type of calm where you would think something was happening, some sort of fraud or anything, but it was actually, it went well. There was a few moments of tense energy and where our discussions or arguing, but other than that, it went well. The only problems we did have was with the ink. The ink would not stay on the finger, and I've had a lot of the voters come up to me and tell me that. It was interesting to see the count with the two members of the FML, or the two FMLN supporters and the two Arena supporters, and seeing how late that count would go into, and what they would argue over what counted as a vote and what didn't count as a vote, and who of the ham would support when they called for help to see what vote counted or not. So it was interesting to see, but the town of Santo Tomas is pretty divided. And it was pretty even, and we actually left a little bit early because we couldn't stay to witness the whole to see who actually won it in the end. But we think that by our own records, we think the FMLN won it. But it would have been a very, very close race.
Mm-hmm. And certainly in Ayutthaya de Peque, there was a sort of a triumphant march round to the council offices, carrying the ballot boxes high up in the air, with lots of chants and whistle blowing, and I actually ended up at the big street party at Escalon. Did you guys get up there? What about you, Nestor?
Yes, I ended up at El Salvador del Mundo, and it was beautiful to see so many people out celebrating, which was a victory and not protesting. So it was probably the greatest sights I've seen in my life so far.
And you got up there, Nick?
I did, yes. The party in the centre of San Salvador was huge. It had been going throughout the night, so I got there fairly late, but I gather a couple of 100,000 people, similar size to the rally that closed the campaign a week before.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't even dare to take a guess at how many people there were, but it was a massive crowd. I've never seen anything like it. And, I left about midnight, but people say it went till 1 or 2 in the morning. And, there was much jubilation, much alegría, as they say, and everyone had great fun, and I think everyone was on a bit of a high, and that was because I suppose it was historic for El Salvadorans, and apart from the satisfaction of overcoming a party that's been in power for over 20 years, what do you think this is going to mean for El Salvador, Nick?
I think it's early to say what it's going to mean, but I think that there are some exciting developments in the continent that helped overcome the fear in El Salvador. I think that the advances made in Venezuela under the under Chavez, the Bolivarian Revolution there, and the election of a number of other left-wing governments throughout South America, and even here in Central America, we've seen a swing to the left in Nicaragua and Honduras, contributed to overcoming the fear in El Salvador. So certainly people's expectations are high. People are showing a renewed confidence about being able to move the society forward, overcome the hurdles. Mauricio Funes, who's the president-elect, is pursuing a very cautious path. He's very concerned about alienating Washington and alienating investment in the country. But I think that the social movements remain determined, the popular movements in the country, to try and overcome the neoliberal agenda that they've seen, the privatisations, to improve their quality of life in the country.
Yeah, well, we certainly saw a high level of organisation of the grassroots organisations here that's supporting the FMLN. I think perhaps that could be their success could be attributed to a large degree to that, as well as sort of the talents of Mauricio Funes. Nestor, someone from North America, what does this victory look like to you in the international context?
Well, myself being a Salvadoran American, this is a proud moment for myself just to see a triumph like this. It's 500 years of colonization and 500 years of not having a people choose for themselves how to govern themselves. So as an international observer, I mean it's a step in progress. So to see Latin America choose for itself. And I think it will only lead to good things.
Right, and I guess you're going to be staying around for long to see how the government.
Unfortunately, I won't. I leave on the 20th, and I got to go back to school. So I took these 2 weeks off because I thought it was probably one of the most important historically that things that will happen in my lifetime, so I said I had to be down here to witness it, and so unfortunately I can't stay to see what develops, but hopefully I'll return soon.
And how about you, Nick? Are you going to be sticking around, or do you have to get back to Western Australia soon?
I'll be leaving San Salvador on Sunday, but I'll be joining a Australia-Venezuela Solidarity Network delegation in Venezuela in a few weeks to witness developments there, so very much looking forward to it.
Oh, we'll stay in touch and talk to Community Radio, and thank you both for talking to Community Radio tonight.
Thank you, Warren.
Thank you.